been. And I thought so because of the pandemic, where it's so easy that we don't go to church, and I'm not condemning anybody that doesn't, don't get me wrong. But because in this day and age, it's so easy to have an excuse not to. How easily we are influenced by what society puts out in front of us. So there was a time in America when church was the focal point of the community's culture and calendar. There was a time when the villages would ring a bell, it's church time, and everybody in that village came to church. Families would make it a priority to attend church services and functions almost every time the church doors were opened. Didn't matter if it was a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Saturday, whatever. When the doors opened, people were there. Sundays featured several hours of church programming. Typically, the day started with age segregation Sunday school classes, followed by the church's morning worship service. Then the Sunday evening schedule often included meetings for teenagers that just transitioned into the evening service. Many families also used Sunday night as an occasion to fellowship with other church families. Most churches also hosted midweek services, like prayer meetings in the church auditorium, and a structured children's program, or a youth group gathering on another night of the week. But times certainly have changed. The majority of Americans no longer attend church on a weekly basis, and many of today's practicing Christians, listen to this, only attend one church service per month. Practicing Christians. Now, there are several factors for the decline in church attendance, and they're varied. Some of them include the availability of religious content online. The trend today is for church services or for churches to offer an online service. And I'm not being critical of that. But we run a serious risk of these online services taking place of attending God's house and worship Him. Then we have the proliferation of other activities for family members on weekends, like the propensity and popularity of youth sports and the general increase of a more secular mindset for many Americans. How many of us are guilty of leaving church, not attending church on a Sunday morning because we had to go watch our grandchild play his game? So why is it important to go to church? Number one, to hear the preaching of the word. If the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than the sword, then hearing the preaching of scripture is vital to your spiritual well-being. Watching preachers on TV is often how people justify, get that word justify, giving up on church attendance. Well, I didn't go to church this morning, but I listened to Stanley on the TV. I didn't go to church because I had a little tickle in my throat, but I listened to David Jeremiah or John Hagee or some of them that we shouldn't even be listening to. They may be listening to good preaching, but without living in close fellowship with real people, one can never really experience the help and the hope of Christ offers his bride through faithful involvement in a local church. If we're not here, we're missing something. These days, people are more accustomed to getting their information through entertainment. Sadly, more and more churches or more and more preachers are replacing preaching with drama and skits and videos, etc., etc., etc. While other cultures crave entertainment, God never instructed his ministers to entertain the troops. Did you catch that? God doesn't want us to come to church to be entertained. He wants us to come to church to hear the fellowship or feel the fellowship of other Christians, to hear the word that is preached. God commanded them to preach truth with urgency, and perhaps it is time for God's people to reconnect themselves to active and regular participation in a local church. The most important reason for God's people to attend church is that the church is God's idea. This isn't a thing that man came up with. Way back when, they didn't just get together and say, you know what? Let's just all get together and we'll have for a fellowship. And maybe if the weather's really nice and the roads aren't slippery, we'll throw in a little message there. This was God's idea. He commanded that we have a church and attend it on a regular basis. The church is how God is accomplishing his work on earth today. He commands us to do his work. And part of that work is to attend a worship service and bring praise and glory to him. And then go and spread that word. The Bible is clear from the narratives that we read in Acts through the epistles, like Paul and Peter and James and John, that God's work in the world today is being completed through his church. One only has to review the words God uses to describe his church to get a glimpse of how important it is to him. The church, as God's plan, is something that must be a top priority in the lives of all believers because it is God's plan. And God's plan doesn't take second fiddle to going and watching a grandchild play sports. Or it doesn't take second fiddle to grab your boat and go to the beach. It doesn't pay second fiddle to anything. It's God's plan, not man's. God's word instructs us to be involved in the church. It's clear from passages like Hebrews 10, verse 25, which I read, and I'm going to read it again because it's really, really important. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. God wants his people to be actively involved in the church. From the account in Acts of the first church in Jerusalem to the seven churches listed in Revelations, it's obvious that the Bible teaches the importance of local church involvement. Number three, the church is God's avenue for believers, catch this, to utilize their spiritual gifts. An important reason for attending church regularly is that the church is a place where believers can and should practice their God-given spiritual gifts. The Bible is emphatic about the fact that every believer is a recipient of one or more of these gifts that are God-given to effectively serve Him in the church. God never intended the church to be, oh boy, listen to this. God never intended the church to be for spectators who just show up for a performance on a Sunday morning. Rather, that performance be a preacher or music or fellowship or a chance to catch up on the local gossip. God never wanted that. And actually goes and tells us not for any of these to be that. It is not for spectators. It's for participants. He designed his church to be a place for believers to participate in church functions by utilizing these spiritual gifts, either in a public setting or privately with other believers. Even in fellowship, we are to utilize our spiritual gifts. Number four, God's people connected with other believers in the church. The community provided by a local church is essential for believers because Christian life was never intended to be a solo act. Now, how do you live a Christian life as a solo act? Well, get up Sunday morning, go to church, sit in the far back corner so nobody bugs me, listen to the preacher, and hurry up and sneak out the front door before somebody invites you to coffee. Go home and just do your regular life. Don't share the gospel with anybody. Don't use your spiritual gifts. Don't pray before your meals. Don't take any time for devotion. That's a solo act. That's not what God wants. That's why there are close to 60 one another's mentioned in the New Testament. Let me give you a couple of examples of what we find as you can go through the New Testament. Believers are to love one another. Believers are to comfort one another. Believers are to forgive one another. And believers are to pray for one another. These are all phrases that I found in the New Testament. And there's over 60 of these type of phrases throughout the whole books of the New Testament. One another was very, very important to God in His church. It's a church where believers can find older, oh, by the way, that's you and me, godly mentors, that's you and me, and where Christ followers can truly have fellowship with one another, that's you and me. It's that church or meetings regularly with other believers is a source of encouragement and strength. But know this, when iron rubs against iron, not only does it become sharper, now catch this, it also causes sparks. How many times have you seen this? Or maybe even experienced it with a grinding wheel on a piece of iron or steel, and here's this trail of sparks flying out there. Thousands of them. That's the same thing that happens to us when we fellowship with other believers. We sharpen each other. And in that process, these sparks fly, these tidbits of Christian life, these promises of God, these reasons for fellowship with others is spread out and affects all of those that are around us, whether believers or non-believers. Whether it be in the church or on the job. This is what God wants. It's just part of the process. You see, when you live in community with other Christians, you're going to get bumped. Now listen to this. When you get bumped, when you fall down, what spills out is what's really in your heart. We're supposed to bump each other. And with that bump, what is in our heart becomes exposed to other Christians, other church family members, and strangers, and relationships, and believers all around. Excuse me. You see, working alongside Christians in a church fellowship is a wonderful way to grow your love for God and for others. You having problems loving other people? Well, go to church. Read the Word. Fellowship with other people that love you. Follow their lead. And if you are one of these that associates with somebody that has a problem loving one another, teach them how. Through word, through experience, through attitude, through action. Use your spiritual gifts. If you've stopped attending church because people hurt you, or maybe didn't measure up to your expectations, or are hypocritical, know that the enemy has you right where he wants you. Satan, his greatest tactic is to divide and conquer. And if he can pull you from the flock, you are vulnerable to do his deceptions and attacks. And Satan will use your lack of love for God's people to quench your love for God. Now, having said that, don't get this wrong, but I firmly believe that this pandemic is the work of Satan. And why do I think that? What's the first thing, way back in the spring, what was the first thing that our government leaders, told us that we could not do?
Go to church.
You bet. Now, what did I say a minute ago? Satan's tactic is to divide and conquer. Look at how this pandemic has divided us. Look at how it has divided us with family. Look at how it has divided us as a congregation. There's only half of us here this morning. Now, I'm not being critical of those that feel they can't come. That's not what this message is all about. But what this message is about is to use the pandemic so I don't have to get up early on Sunday morning. Because I might catch the virus. Today, we are functioning in fear. And here's why I say that. Last week, well, way back in March, when the government mandated we had to wear masks, I'm not being critical of masks, don't get me wrong. Some of us wore them, some of us didn't wear them. Some of the stores tried to enforce it. And when somebody like me came in and didn't wear a mask, they didn't do anything about it. So a lot of people did not wear masks. I'm not defending them. I'm not being critical. Last week, I was at Rivertown Mall. I hadn't been there in 2 years. But the reason I was early. So I decided to just take a stroll up and down the mall. I did not see one person without a mask. In March, you would have seen half of them without a mask. So what this is telling me is our leaders, through Satan, or let me say it, Satan, through our leaders, has been very successful at instilling fear in our lives. I have a little plaque in my office that Linda Hayes gave me. And it says something to the effect of, live by faith, not by fear. With so many of us today, fear has replaced faith. Now, my take on this, and this is Gary Zinger, okay, how I approach this, I'm not saying follow it, not saying I'm right, I'm just saying this is me. I choose to believe that through faith, by me attending church, God is not going to allow me to catch the virus, because I praised him and worshiped him. Now, having said that, I also recognize that maybe he will. And if he does, he's telling me that my name has come up. Because my work on earth is done. And he is taking me to my reward. That's me. I'm not saying adapt it. I'm not saying I'm right, everybody else is wrong. I'm not condemning those that choose not to come. I honor that and respect that with every bit of my being. But I'm saying this morning for words to ponder. Maybe if we are functioning or we are not worshiping God or coming to church out of fear, maybe we need to reevaluate our situation. Maybe we need to look at how we can strengthen our faith. Here's the sixth reason why we need to come to church. Probably the most important, maybe the reason. Because God said to. Yeah. God said you have to come to church. This is part of my plan. Not forsaking the assembly of others together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. That's what the scripture we read this morning says. I don't think the writers of Hebrew could make it any more clear God's desire to have you regularly assemble together with his people. realize that God wants you to regularly attend church is for your good. It's not just because God's being a bully. It's not just because, well, I'll show you if you don't do what I say. Another reason is God designed his church to fulfill the Great Commission to make disciples. You've heard us preached off of this pulpit. We see it in writing time and time again. The last thing Christ said to his disciples is what has commonly been called the Great Commission, where he left this lasting imperative to make disciples for his people. It was never Christ's plan for this mandate to go forward and make disciples of all men to be attempted alone. True discipleship can only happen within the structure, the teaching, and the accountability of a local church. So why does all this matter? Current culture makes it easy for both individuals and family members to get involved in other activities instead of faithfully attending and serving the Lord in a local church. That's our current culture. So many activities today tend to conflict with church schedules. And I hold the church, the schools accountable for this. There is no reason why they need to schedule a sports activity on a Sunday morning. None. As far as I'm concerned, there's no reason they have to schedule it on a Sunday anyway, any time of the day. So many of these activities tend to conflict with church schedules. The internet provides an abundance of podcasts and recorded sermons. Do you know the United Methodist Church now has online messages available for churches to use if their pastor went on vacation? Can you believe that? Of all of the people that we have that is willing to stand up here and give a message, and they decided that we could do it online with a video? Or live streaming? God's word teaches the importance of active participation in a local church. Believers must make church attendance a priority in their personal and their family schedules. And we must put going to church ahead of other seemingly beneficial activities. And all of God's people said, amen. Our closing hymn is number 527. And we're only going to sing the first verse because of time we got here. I got a big mouth this morning. I know not how God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I believe in, and am persuaded that he is able to teach that I've remitted unto him against. Do the chorus again. tonight. Know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that name. Grant that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts. And that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, everyone. Amen. You know, I missed this show.
Thank you. I did too.
Thank you.